Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today to encourage you this Friday is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one who is facing face-to-face Nemo himself, the Nor'easter in the Northeast, is John Paul Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're going to be talking to you today about children and Jesus. We're going to be talking to you also, giving you at the top of the hour a report on the Nor'easter, what's taking place in the New England states. We're going to talk about jumping out of a perfectly good airplane today. John doesn't know about this, but we're excited about it. We're hoping to film it and record him as he jumps. In this crazy situation with this police officer, ex-police officer gone wild, how we need to begin to pray and ask God for justice to stop this man before anybody else is harmed. We're also going to be talking about Dr. Benjamin Carson, who did the keynote speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast, where President Obama was present. A powerful thing on political correctness. It was so very, very encouraging. Also, we're going to talk about a remedy for America. Is there a remedy for America? Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today on this Friday is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. Give us a report, man. What is up with Nemo? You know, I was talking this morning as we were discussing the pertinent matters of the day, and I said, you know, Nemo is taking place, and then, of course, Pat looks at me and goes, that's a fish, man. That's a fish. I'm like, no, man. It's a storm they call in the Nor'easter. Nemo. Poor Nemo, right? Nemo's getting a bad...
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
It is a fish. It's actually a cartoon, right?
It's a cartoon.
This is no cartoon. No,
Winter
this is not
storm.
A Saints game, and this is not Chasing Nemo or whatever that was.
That's right. That's right.
Man, What's happening, man?
We are getting ready. There is a storm coming. You're right. They're calling it the Winter Storm Nemo. And believe it or not, this morning already, flurries, it was starting to stick. And it's kind of died down a little bit.
Well, for all the rest of America who don't even know what they think a flurry is, something you get from McDonald's. Can you explain what that is?
Mm-hmm. It's called snow.
Right.
Big snow.
So McDonald's serves snow and people buy it, but you guys get it for free.
That's right. We get it for free.
We pay like $1.50 or something for a cup of snow.
We can send some snow down maybe down there.
Think it's going to be enough?
Oh my goodness! They're expecting everything from 8 to 14. To the most recent report I heard was 18 inches in New York City.
Wow!
You understand that if you ever hear that New York City is getting snow, you can rest assured that all of North Jersey and everything else outside of the city is going to get, you know, a
whole
lot.
You know, Jersey's like something that's injected into Manhattan. People don't understand how that works, but it's literally, you know, New York swings around both sides of northeastern New Jersey. Oh my goodness, man! Maybe you'll be ice skating on the Hudson. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know about the Hudson.
You don't want to fall in if it's thin ice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I don't want to fall in ice.
Jimmy Hoffa. Oh my goodness.
Maybe we may get a chance to do some sledding, but for right now, until you know this storm passes, we definitely want to make sure that we pray for our elderly, those that are going to be commuting. I mean, if you're listening to VFN Radio today and you're going into the city, they're saying that they're going to be
don't stay home if you don't have to.
But New Jersey Transit's going to be sending buses early so you can get out of the city early, because in fact it's supposed to get heavy during rush hour. And so a lot of the schools are actually have an early dismissal, half a day today. And you want to look after your elderly. Look after the folks that weren't able to go out to the store and get supplies and get the things that they need. You'll be surprised. You know, a lot of the elderly not even watching the news. Some people don't even know what's happening. Don't take it for granted that your neighbor has everything that they need. And you know what? They're expecting 35-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
So
it's important, too, to realize snow blocks you in.
Yeah,
and blocks you from having access to people. So if you want to check on them now. If there's somebody in your neighborhood, friends and family, make sure they have everything they need, because they're going to be blocked in for a while until they're not going to have enough plows to remove all the snow. It's, a lot of it's going to have to be removed just through the sun coming up or something taking place like that. But don't think, like, if this storm hits and Mrs. Smith's in trouble, I'm going to go help her. It's like, you're not going to, might not be able to do that. You might not be able to get your door open. Yeah. Might not be able to get her door open, and it could be too late. You need to prepare, you know, beforehand.
Sure. And what happens is that they start cleaning the main roads first, but a lot of the neighborhood roads get their last. So what happens, a lot of accidents occur right there in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
People are slipping and sliding, smashing into houses and cars on the side of the road. And if you could avoid leaving at all, please do, because it's going to be very, very dangerous and messy. But
I got a clue too to help. Shovel your sidewalk and shovel, you know, sweep all the snow off your car after they plowed your street, not before.
Oh my goodness! Well, don't dump it in the street because they'll get upset.
Yeah. But I remember when you got your car all cleaned up and then the plow came by and threw everything off.
And threw everything. Here's another tip. Here's another tip for you.
All right.
Here's another tip. You want to back up your vehicle as close as to the end of the driveway. All that space. You want to have all that space. They're going to push it into your driveway.
Okay? Oh, I learned that one, man.
Out. Yeah. I'm telling you. And be careful where you're walking. When you have that snowdrift, you think it's a mountain, it's a facade. You could be stepping into all sorts of stuff. So you really just want to be.
Especially in Manhattan. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You'll fall into a manhole or something.
Well, I thought, you know, my first big snow in New York, and I had a Mustang that I put a lot of space between me and the road and my vehicle. But it's just snow, you know, it's just light snow. So I was going to just, you know, get a little bit, you know, shoveled out, and then I was just going to rev up my engine. I was going to knock the snow out of the way.
Right.
Didn't work. You know, snow is so, when it's so, let's just pray right now. Everybody's listening to us. Let's just pray for everybody in America, in the Northeastern United States, you know, New York and Massachusetts and all the way up to Maine. And let's just ask God to protect them and protect the church too. That's all, you know, in those areas. Father God, we just ask you right now that you would be with the Americans, the citizens that are in the Northeast, Father God, that you would give wisdom to the mayors, to the police chiefs, to the sheriffs, that you would give wisdom to family to be able to protect them, that you would somehow miraculously keep these power lines open so heat continues to come, you would give them wisdom on how to use generators if that day comes, that they don't have this exit air, this exhaust air going into any place that they're living in. That could kill them, that they wouldn't do that, Father God, and that fuel and provision and food and everything would be taken care of, Father God. We just ask you, Lord, for mercy for the Northeastern United States. And God, we just pray for those that don't know you there, that this would be the moment that they look up and realize that God, you're God, and above you there's none other, and they would turn to you, Father God, that hearts would turn in the Northeast. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Well, you know, I was thinking about when you shot some video of you were sledding in the park, probably. And I was so enjoying the video because you sent me a video of it. But then, you know, Elijah, I think it was Elijah or Isaiah, one of them got some of the snow on their face. And you're looking like, get the snow off your face, get the snow off your face. And I thought, yeah, it is pretty toxic. I never thought about that before. I was having this great vision of just clean, fresh snow. And it's like, no, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Oh, my goodness.
He's cracking up. I'm like, get this stuff out your face. Out your mouth.
Well, you know, I was in Manhattan years ago when I was in the Navy, and they would give us free Broadway plays. I had no idea what a nice gift that was. Mm-hmm. But I think I saw like 33 Broadway plays back then.
Wow.
You just go down to the USO, and they would just give you tickets. And luckily, I had somebody named Terry Tregg from the Deluge of Louisiana that would just, we'd go together, and he knew how to get these tickets. And we went into some off-Broadway play, and it was all, the streets were there, everything was normal. We rode the bus to the subway to the city, because we were coming out of the Brooklyn shipyards.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came out, it was a different city. Nobody was moving. We were the two fools stuck in Manhattan who didn't, we were young, we didn't look at the weather report.
Right.
There was no iPhones that sent alerts to you by that time. And there was like one weatherman probably for New York. And we had to wade all the way to, we made it to the subway. You could ride the subway in some of the subways and the snow, and that carried us all the way to the bus stop in Brooklyn. No, we got off the subway in Brooklyn, but then we had to walk because no buses are moving, and we had to walk. We've been just jumping on trains and transit, so sometimes you don't even know the environment because you just jump on some transportation thing and you just go somewhere. Mm. But when there was no transportation things, you're like, oh,
where
my goodness.
Where am I?
Lines, tires, and bears. Oh, no.
It's cold out. It's
dark. It was cold. It was like walking in a mud puddle, bro. It was like, it was just, I mean, I don't know what people like about that. But I do want to say before I say this, that this city that was kind of dark and dirty at that time, it's clean now. It's like Disney World looking now. But it wasn't like that then, that it was just all white. Everything was just clean and white, and it was amazing. And then 5 minutes later, it turned to slush and mud, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And so we get out, and we're going to walk all the way from the subway where we got off to the shipyard. There were these guys hanging out underneath the overpass, and you had to walk on this road. And there's like four or five on one side leaning against their cars, four or five on the other side leaning against their car, I don't know, switchblades. I don't know what they have. You know, they just look like if we walk through there, we won't come out the other side.
Right.
And so Terry and I walked all the way up. You know, these guys had to laugh at us. Oh, we walked all the way up the side of the interstate, over the interstate, and back down again, and unplowed. We just waded through thick snow. And I know those guys probably laughed at us, but they still would have robbed us. I know those guys robbed us. Mm-hmm. And sailors will get robbed every single day. Every single day. They actually, the captain would say, no, he didn't wear a uniform.
Okay.
No, that's right. He's like,
Magnet.
Well, I mean, you already had a haircut that said, come and rob me. But but even the captain would put $20 in his sock. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness.
And he would tell us, put $20 in your sock so you can at least get back.
Right.
And that was different then. Yeah, now they just have terrorists. Back then, I think everybody was a terrorist back then. And so we finally, man, hack our way all the way through the snow, make it back to the ship that was in dry dock. And that was my adventure, you know. So I just not really into snow. When I was in Virginia, because you just hear all this thing about snow, you're thinking, like, this is so great. Mm. This is so wonderful. And I'm walking from my ship in Virginia. This is my Navy days, I guess. Which stands for never again volunteer yourself.
Right.
And I look up and it starts snowing because you can see the snow where it's starting to land on the ground. And you think, oh, that's pretty cool. Then you look up and it's these big wads of paper coming out of the sky that's blocking all the sun. It's like God's throwing trash at you. Right? It looked terrible, didn't it? It was just dark. And
I don't know what snow you were looking at. I don't know what you're looking at.
Get it off your face.
What's really beautiful? That was on the ground. What's really nice is when you're up in a really tall building and you're up so high and you start seeing all this just snow.
When a plane hits it or what? What plane?
No. When the snow starts falling.
Okay.
It's just this. It really is a nice thing to look at when it first comes down. And you know what? Once it falls and it lands and everything is clean, you can have a whole lot of fun on there.
You got to really do it quickly if you're in the city.
Yeah, you just don't play. Oh, you're not going to play in the street. I mean, if you're going to go in and do the sledding and the skiing and all that stuff that people haven't done the skiing yet. But a long time ago, I used to go to these golf courses and they had these huge rolling hills. I mean, just huge. They were like mountains.
Right.
And you would just go flying. I mean, flying down. It took you like...
That's before you had a frontal lobe, right? You didn't bother you.
Oh, my goodness. It took you like 6 minutes.
Wow. Climb back up.
Climb back up. You know? Right. But when you came back up, there were people coming right down the hill. So you didn't know if someone was coming. You're dodging.
Yeah.
Crazy. But
that's before the day of helmets and seatbelts on sleds, you know?
Yeah.
The OSHA's like mandating we have to wear...
I wonder if we should make that video available of Teresa coming down that hill screaming.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
That's a good idea. What do you think, Teresa? I think it's a good idea. Well, I think she's in agreement. Ashley put the one up where you're going like, get the toxic snow off your face, son. I'm like, I was so enjoying that. I was like, wow. And all of a sudden, like, he's got chemicals on him. Get him off. You know? It is when the snow first comes down. Of course, I'm looking right now at the weather.com, and people are pushing their cars down the road, and people are hacking their way through snow. I just don't see. There's something about that just says, I just rather it not. Mm-hmm. You know, just watch it. You know, watch it on a movie or something. Because I was in Manhattan, and it snowed, and of course they plowed the snow, they dumped it in the Hudson. which is oil, trash, and everything right into the Hudson. You know, they shove it over there. But then it still got ice. Mm-hmm. And I saw big, huge trash trucks that dump dumpsters, you know, sliding like children's skates sideways and spinning down roads. I'm thinking, this is not good. This is going to hurt you. Why does anybody like this? I'm in a trash truck going wow. sideways, spinning, has no grip, you know, and the man's just like, I guess he's used to it. He's just sitting at the window waiting until it stops. And I'm thinking, that could hurt. That can hurt me. These people, oh, I want snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. It's like, Jiminy Crickets, go to the beach. Have you been to Pensacola Beach? I mean, it is like white sand on the island out there. I mean, there is places that you can go to really enjoy that. So, you know, remember everybody up in the Northeast today. We need to keep them in our prayers. You know, pray for John if he does get snow in his face or mouth when he's sledding.
Pray for him. You can come up and help shovel, too.
Maybe you can wear one of those little masks that doctors wear when you to make sure you don't get nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're so clean, man. You're just a clean man.
I don't know. I'm going to have to wear some special gloves or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness, man. Well, I'll tell you what. This police officer, this ex police officer, this former police officer, it is amazing, you know, what's taking place. And there's a spirit. There's a spirit in the land. I don't know if we're seeing this, that we need to begin to really take note of what's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
What's happening everywhere. And there's a big, huge manhunt going on right now for this particular former officer whose name is Christopher J. Is it Dorner? D-O-R-N-E-R. He's 33 years old.
I think so.
He's a former Navy reservist, and he was with the LAPD mm-hmm. in 2008, and he was let go. Mm-hmm. And he feels, based on the reports, he put some manifesto on his Facebook that basically explained what he was going to do. But then he was going to go after officers that he worked with. He's going to go after their families. I mean, it was tough enough. It was so, you know, I was a police officer, and I mean, you had to live in the same community that you put family members of people in jail because they broke the law. That was your job. Your job was to go, okay, if they're robbing a bank, mm-hmm. you had to go put them in jail because that was the law.
Right.
But they still have, you know, uncles, aunts, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters still in the city that you're living in. And then sometimes they get out. You know, during your depends on how long they stayed in prison. Mm-hmm. Most people don't stay that mm-hmm. long. And you're already vulnerable as an officer. I mean, I really admire the police officers of our nation and the sheriffs, the deputies and all, because they, every day, I mean, there's nothing like this. I mean, if you go fight a war, it's a lot different because, you know, you have the enemy, you know who they are, you go attack the enemy, you come back home. Everybody around you is on your side pretty much. Used to be like that. And as in law enforcement, you're like, you know, you're like amongst maybe friend, maybe foe. I mean, you don't know. You go out to eat. You're sitting with the very people, family members, maybe that you had to, you know, arrest one of their family members. And, mm-hmm. and it's a real touchy situation as it is. But now you have an officer, ex-officer, who's putting them on a target, on a list, and saying, I'm going to hunt you up and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family members. Uh-huh. And I'm going to be able to kill anything to do with that. And
well, you know, allegedly it looks like he killed and murdered one of the ex-police chief's daughter and fiance.
Yeah, she had left the force and became a lawyer, right? She's working with the
the incident I'm talking about, I think that she was actually a basketball coach.
Okay.
And the fiance, her and the fiance, and this was from the former police chief, Kwan. And so this is allegedly going on right now. They're doing a house by house, as I understand it, manhunt, looking for this ex-cop.
Well, you know, this particular in Torrance, these two ladies were delivering newspapers, and they were wounded by police officers because they were mistaken for the suspect's vehicle, and they began to fire quite a few shots. They offloaded into this Nissan pickup, and you know. It's just terrible that the stress and the pressure now that the department's under, because now they're trying to not just if it was just them, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be so upset. But now this guy's saying, I'm going after your wife, I'm going after your daughters, I'm going after your children, and these guys have served, you know, so their hair on the back of their neck is going to go up, and they're going to really be forceful and stopping this guy before any of their wives get killed or their husbands get killed, or, you know, and you can understand that. And this is what I talked about this coming storm, and I talked about Guy Fawkes and that these officers, they're human beings. And if you start threatening them and threatening their family and they're experiencing the losses, you're seeing a picture of that right now. And they're doing what most people will do, you know, in responding to protect their families and protect their fellow officers' families and all that. But we'll talk more about that right at this break.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing His voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what He's saying and writing it down, it's just, it's been life transforming. I mean, it's, I can hear Him clearly, and it's beautiful, and, you know, He just, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful.
And He says that, you know, His sheep will hear His voice and follow none other.
That's right.
How, that's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and He knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you beginning to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God, and by alone with God, and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though, to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear His voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about this ex-LAPD officer, Christopher Dorner, who is somewhere on the earth. I would assume he has no electric devices because everything's trackable today, and every phone's trackable and all that. But there's a way that, you know, that's what's happening. But how do you respond to this? Realize that all these things are connected. Everything is connected. Nemo's connected to Christopher's situation, LAPD, school shooting in
Newtown.
Newtown.
And that's connected with Aurora. A theater shooting is connected. All these things are connected. The overburden of the finances of what's taken with $17 trillion indeed. This is all connected. And hopefully, you know, we'll get a chance to talk about the remedy. What is the remedy for this? Because this is what we're told. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against Christopher here. We're not wrestling against these men who lost their minds to come in there to kill innocent children and citizens. We're wrestling against the spirit that grabbed a hold of them.
Yeah.
They're demon-possessed. I mean, there's a demonic oppression. You can look at their faces. It's like it's almost like the church lost all of our abilities to so easily look at somebody and go, there's something wrong right there. There's something got a hold of this person. And remember that you know, we have the power to deliver people under the authority of Jesus' name from demonic oppression. We don't just have to medicate the individual so they can tolerate the demonic oppression in their life. We can actually set them free in Jesus' name from it.
Right.
But all these things are connected. And so what do we do? Well, one thing we do right now, we begin to pray for justice. Nobody's praying or crying out to God for justice. And I think you can go to VFN TV and you can watch No One Cries for Justice at VFNTV.com and understand that if we begin to cry for justice, these things God fixes.
Mm.
But with that, that's putting everything back in its place again, which means it's God's going to put us back in our place again. He's going to put marriage back in its place again. He's going to put family back in its place again. He's going to put our culture back in its place again. But that's a good thing because his place is a place of blessing and prosperity and all these things. But this thing is just going to continue if we stay in this state of rebellion towards God and deny that it's his hand that's been on this nation. It's he that's blessed us, that it is was founded on Judeo-Christian values. I mean, you can't, if you just read the Bible, listen, 82% of professed born-again believers, according to George Barna, are not even reading the Bible. But if you just read what God said to Moses when he was giving him the laws, you'll actually see America's laws. You'll see the prudent man comes from God's word. When he talks about, hey, if this person gets in a fight and he doesn't die and he's able to walk again, then this person is only responsible for paying for damages, but the person shouldn't be put to death because the person lived. But if the person, and he has all these different, it's like, this is the actual legal system for America.
Right.
And it came from the mouth of God to Moses on the mountain. Mount Sinai, that's what happened. It came. And that wasn't just the Ten Commandments. It was very detailed things of how a society should operate. And we took those Judeo, which is Old Testament, Christian, which is New Testament, values, and our founding fathers did, and they began to write down, you know, the U.S. Constitution and how things would, our laws, and that's where they were derived from. And that's how we ended up with some things we regretted and later repented for, because in the context of that, even, I mean, everything's talked about. Everything America's done was spoken of in the Word of God. Everything. And so we got to turn back to God. And so what we do is we begin to cry for justice. God, bring justice. And what happens when you start looking at justice and you realize, hey, this is not good for me, it brings us to the cross. It brings us back to Jesus when we cry for justice. Before you start shouting from the rooftop saying, yeah, I want justice for Christopher, you know, as former LAPD officer, make sure that justice has been served in your life at the cross of Christ. Understand that God is a just God and he's the one that justifies, but what he did was he served justice on Jesus. He actually took the punishment that was due us, the injustices that we caused, and he literally put them on and struck his own son. Jesus on the cross. That's what's so awesome about what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
And we go and we say, you know, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be, thank you for taking my place. Thank you for taking the justice that was due me. I'm going to make you the Lord of my life and I'm going to walk in your ways, which now I'm not walking illegally anymore. I'm not walking, you know, spiritually illegal anymore. I'm walking in the ways of God through the empowerment of his spirit. And now, yes, we all deserve to be destroyed. Every one of us deserve to be destroyed. But if we make Jesus the Lord of our life, our destruction was on Jesus. That's what's so good about it. So that's the justice of God. Understand that. That means this, too, that if America, the American church does not repent, justice is going to come down on the country.
Right.
Mm. It's going to come down, which means it's going to be back in order. You know, we're going to be back in order. It may not be called America.
That.
It may not be called America.
Yeah.
But God's, you know, God has a way of getting our attention and getting us back. But why go through all that? And so we need to pray for justice, for first get ourselves in alignment with the justice that was served on Jesus Christ at the cross by God, understanding that he's a just God and the one that justifies, and say, God, forgive me where I've went astray, where I've sinned, where I've done other people wrong. You know, cleanse me from that, Lord. Restore me, Lord. I want to be your disciple, Jesus. I want to know your teachings, and I want to follow your teachings, and I want to be known for that. And I want to go into all the world and let other people know. And then begin to say, you know what? I'm going to love God, love others, and lead other people to this very same thing that I just personally experienced in my own life. And my testimony is what will encourage people. Because we'll say, you know, I was Christopher. I was this guy, or I was this woman. I was this prostitute. I was this. But now God's forgiven me. God saved me, and God has set me free. And yeah, the justice came down, but it came down on Jesus. And I love him for that. And so, yes, we've got to cry out for justice for America so this slaughter will stop. And it's not going to be just the slaughter in the context of what we're seeing, you know, man against man, but we're going to look at geothermal type things taking place. Oh. You know, they're just saying right now that Yellowstone is one of the most powerful expectant volcanoes in the world, and its eruption could literally destroy the world, not just America, because it'll blow so much stuff in the air that when it all lands, it will kill. But also, then its plume, its cloud, will block the sun. Then all the vegetation would die, and then man dies off. That's how big it is.
Oh wow!
Wow!
And understand this: that God holds these things back. These are things that stay in check when we're in check.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're out of check, all these things he held in check, he pulls his hand off of them.
Wow.
And that alone, understand that, you know, why go this route? You know, why do that? And that's Yellowstone Park. And you're talking about not just a country, but the world could be affected by an eruption in there. But economical, we're looking at the economy and how the economy is just being in our faces. And when you go back and look at the perfect storm, you can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the banner at the bottom and the prophetic words that was given by John Paul Jackson in regards to the headlines that God has shown him. They're coming to pass like clockwork. And now they're discussing a across-the-board cut, the budget, and one of those are defense budget cuts. And they're talking about cutting the pay of the military. Remember, this is one of the headlines was, military comes home. Because there's not enough money to be able to keep them in these lands.
Right.
And they're bringing them home as we speak, intentionally bringing them home.
Right.
And it's not a mistake. You know, what really happens, you know, when you live long enough, you begin to see that God will allow a man to believe what he needs to believe so he can do what God wants him to do. And they'll be convinced in their own heart, this is the right thing for America. When really God's allowing them to believe that so that they are used to humble America.
Sure.
And these things are happening right in our faces. I mean, right in our faces.
I think he proved that with Pharaoh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pharaoh was just serving God's purposes.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was definitely. He hardened his heart, and it was just amazing. It was amazing what you know what's taking place. And so yeah, I mean, this is you gotta understand. If you come from a law enforcement perspective, that these officers now here they are armed, and the officers have officers watching officers now. And while at the same time, Washington's wanting to take your guns away from you. Now you have officers watching officers watching officers. You know, this one who has a gun's watching over this one with their gun, watching that one with their gun.
Wow.
While the feds are coming with their guns to protect the families of the ones with guns from this one guy with a gun. At the same time, they're saying, listen, we want to take y'all's guns away. It's like, no, take Christopher's away. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, take people that are like that. We don't take the law-abiding citizens. What defense do we have? What defense do we have? I was looking at the blaze where this particular 78-year-old woman, maybe 80-year-old woman, somebody came into her house, I believe, with a knife. And she pulled a gun out on him, and she said, just put the knife down and leave.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's reportedly that he put the knife down and he left. How simple is that? They're both alive.
Hmm.
You know, a gun wins out over a knife if you're ready to use it. If you're not ready to use it, you know, we learned in law enforcement that if you're within 20 feet, maybe 30 feet, but at least 20 feet, and they have a knife, it doesn't. It just takes one lunge, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us. We'd limp 20 feet. I'm going to get you.
Right.
We'd throw it, and the handle would hit instead of the blade thing. It's like, no, oh, that's gosh. Not the way it's supposed to happen.
All right.
But these things are tragic. But if you go back and you listen, this is the reason why we're here on VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, is to tell you and warn you, you know, just like the harbingers that you heard, you know, that means warning, the harbingers that you heard this week as well, that we're at a crossroads. America's at a crossroads, and we got to determine. That's why we can talk about horrific things happening and going to happen and great things happening and going to happen, because it all depends on the choice that we make.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the choice we make. And towards the end of this first time, I'm going to talk to you about a remedy. You know, what is a remedy, if we have time? What is a remedy for America? But I don't know, did y'all hear Dr. Benjamin Carson at the National Prayer Breakfast?
No.
Yes.
The Fellowship Fund? Oh, my goodness. This guy, and this is where, you know, all the leaders come together, and President Obama and First Lady are there sitting to his right while he's standing. He's the keynote speaker there. And he just deals with political correctness. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. This is just so encouraging and so true. Listen up. This is Dr. Benjamin Carson.
I need to speak in a lot of venues. This is my fourth speech this week. And I have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people. And I've been asking people, what concerns you? What are you most concerned about in terms of the spirituality and the direction of our nation and our world? And I've talked to very prominent Democrats, very prominent Republicans, and I was surprised by the uniformity of their answers. And those have informed my comments this morning. Now, it's not my intention to offend anyone. I have discovered, however, in recent years that it's very difficult to speak to a large group of people these days and not offend someone. I know people walk around with their feelings on their shoulders waiting for you to say something. Did you hear that? And they can't hear anything else you say. The PC police are out in force at all times. I remember once I was talking to a group about the difference between a human brain and a dog's brain. And a man got offended. He said, you can't talk about dogs like that. But people just focus in on that, completely miss the point of what you're saying. And we've reached a point where people are afraid to actually talk about what they want to say because somebody might be offended. People are afraid to say Merry Christmas at Christmas time. It doesn't matter whether the person you're talking to is Jewish or, you know, whether they're any religion. That's a salutation of greeting, of goodwill. We've got to get over this sensitivity, you know, and it keeps people from saying what they really believe. You know, I'm reminded of a very successful young businessman, and he loved to buy his mother these exotic gifts for Mother's Day, and he ran out of ideals, and then he ran across these birds. These birds were cool. You know, they cost $5,000 a piece. They could dance, they could sing, they could talk. He was so excited, he bought two of them. Sent him to his mother, couldn't wait to call her up on Mother's Day. Mother, mother, what'd you think of those birds? And she said, they was good. He said, no, mother, you didn't eat those birds. Those birds cost $5,000 a piece. They could dance, they could sing, they should talk. And she said, well, they should have said something. And you know, that's where we end up too if we don't speak up for what we believe. And you know what we need to do, what we need to do in this PC world is forget about unanimity of speech and unanimity of thought, and we need to concentrate on being respectful of those people with whom we disagree. And that's when I think we begin to make real progress. And one last thing about political correctness, which I think is a horrible thing, by the way. I'm very, very compassionate, and I'm not ever out to offend anyone. But PC is dangerous. Because you see, this country, one of the founding principles was freedom of thought and freedom of expression. And it muffles people. It puts a muzzle on them. And at the same time, keeps people from discussing important issues while the fabric of their society is being changed. And we cannot fall for that trick. And what we need to do is start talking about things that are important, things that were important in the development of our nation.
You're listening. That was Dr. Benjamin Carson at the Fellowship Foundation National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And that is so encouraging, because what happens when we try to be so politically correct, where you have a Christian who just talked about Jesus all day long in his or her home, in their car, with their family. As soon as they get to work, they just say, God.
Right.
You know, it's like, what happened? How did you edit that? What happened? Are you ashamed of me before men?
Right.
And he said the fabric of our society is being destroyed because we are not saying what we know to be right, what we know to be true. And you can love, God loves everyone. And so it's okay to love your enemies. Jesus told us to love our enemies. So you don't have to worry about trying to fight somebody or argue with them. Just love on them and tell them the truth. Mm. Tell them the truth. And if we don't stand up and speak up for the truth in America now, there will not be an America tomorrow. We'll be right back.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to,
right?
Because it fits your life and your life fits the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God, and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing.
We found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You are listening to VFN Radio. Welcome back to the first hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. John, I tell you what, this guy's mother, you know, she's elderly, and she was having these problems with her knee. And she goes to her doctor, and the doctor starts looking at her knee, and she goes, well, it hurts, and this is going on all night. And he looks at her, and he says, listen, this is... because of your age, you know, how the age of your knee. And she says, she says, it can't be, because my other knee is the same age and it don't hurt.
Oh my goodness. My knees, I don't know about my knees. I was reading in the Word, just the other day, and about Jesus. I love reading the letters in red. You know, I love reading the Gospels. I love reading what Jesus did and taught his disciples and his life. And it was very interesting in Mark 10. He talks about children. And this is just so remarkable. I had read these scriptures before, but this was so cool. It says that the people were bringing the little children to Jesus and to have him touch them. So they're bringing their children to the Lord and they wanted Jesus to touch them, but the disciples rebuked them, which basically went off on them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I mean, you had parents that were saying, you know, Jesus is present and I want him to touch them. But the disciples were getting in their way. And Jesus' reaction really tells it all. You know, he was indignant. And I had to look that up there, Pat. I had to check this out here. He was angered.
Oh, wow.
He was angered because it means like anger when something's unjust, incensed. He was upset. And the whole thing is that Jesus wanted the little children to have access and still does. Jesus wants children to have access to him, and no one is to hinder that. And it got me to thinking, you know, not too many times you see the scriptures talking about Jesus being incensed or upset. I mean, you see him reacting to the Pharisees. You saw him, you know, turning up the tables, the money changers when they were trying to sell and make the temple a place of just selling and money. And says, this is God's house, should be a house of prayer. And here you see again in the scriptures where Jesus is really upset. He's angered.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me to thinking, you know, what are we doing? Are we doing anything today? Are we doing anything today that is hindering our children in our homes, in amongst our church fellowships, amongst our gatherings, that are hindering, putting away in an obstacle of our children being able to touch and experience Jesus?
Mm.
You know, and there's some, you know, obvious things that, you know, I would imagine to some, you know, reliving a life that compromises, you know, God's word, you know, preaching, do what I say, but don't do what I do.
That doesn't
you know
work.
I mean?
Yeah, right.
That doesn't work.
As if that really worked, right?
Yeah. I can't tell you why that doesn't, I know that doesn't work. It doesn't work.
You know,
I just want you to do better than me is what they say, right? I just want you to do better. It's like, right.
But I love your examples.
right.
You know, what kind of example are we showing? You know, parenting is a difficult thing. You know, it's a challenging thing. But God wants us to model that relationship for our children. You know, if we're believers and we have children, we're supposed to raise them up in the way of the Lord. And the word says that when they're old, they won't depart. You know, and questions we can ask ourselves just to look inwardly. When it's so important. Have we introduced our children to Jesus? Have we had the opportunity to bring our children and talked about the Lord and make sure that they have their own personal relationship with God? You know, they say that most missionaries, there's a study out, this is most missionaries, I can't give you the quote, have found the Lord when they were young children. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that, you know, we have to ask, do our children have more religion than they have a relationship? Is it a form? You know, are we taking personal responsibility for leading them and teaching them and not allowing somebody else to do all the work?
You know, we acting all religious for a couple hours a week and then acting all irreligious for 6.5 days a week.
Come on, man.
You know,
yeah.
And that's where, you know, your kids are living in the context of that. And we've totally missed the mark in regards to the whole purpose. When Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, you know, God's speaking about what you're talking about. He says, has not the Lord made them one, talking about a husband and wife, in flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring.
Yeah.
And so we're supposed to, the whole purpose, I know that this will blow the American culture out of the water and the mindsets, because here we are, killing our godly offspring, killing our offspring instead of raising our offspring. But I mean, there was a day when I think about this. Well, I don't want to interrupt what you're saying there, but you know there was a day when people would try to destroy society. They would say we got to kill off their children. It's like, oh, we've already done that. You don't have to, already.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to break up their marriages. We just do that ourselves. We don't have any kind of infiltration, no terrorism. We just end it ourselves.
Right.
We need to destroy their faith and how they. Like, I think they just are letting it be, you know, we're just self-destructing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's self-destruction taking place in our own country right here, where the whole purpose of you marrying your wife or your wife marrying you was to be able to bear, in God, is to be able to bear godly children, children that you do train up in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, really? Oh my goodness. You know, I wasn't thinking about having, I just wanted to have a spouse.
Oh my kids! I wanted someone to love me. So I had a
child. Right.
What?
Yeah. I want somebody to talk to.
Okay. So.
Well, John had read every book on marriage. Book on marriage. Remember that?
No, I didn't read every book. Just a couple. They didn't work. But anyway.
Every book
they didn't work.
Oh, they didn't work.
Oh my goodness!
Well, I'm glad that Teresa was able to fix everything.
But here's the thing. I mean, here's the thing, is that it's so. I mean, it really is so important. Remember back in the day when Russia was trying to rebuke the United States, saying we don't want MTV, you know what I'm saying, in our country because it's destroying. We don't want that American influence to destroy, you know, our country. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what, it starts with us. It starts with us at home and what we're doing and what we're raising up. And let me tell you, there comes a point, you know, have we compromised it, even what appears to be even the small things. I mean, when it's time to celebrate the Resurrection Day, are we even talking about the Easter Bunny? You know what I mean? I mean, we can't complain at 15 and at 16 when our child doesn't want to read the Bible, you know, and doesn't want to spend time with the Lord. Like, well, we've been talking about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny for the last 10 years, and all of a sudden you mention, who's this Jesus guy on Easter? What are you talking about?
Right.
And we just need to bring it back to basics and bring it back to, you know, the main purpose of what you mentioned earlier of why God has allowed us the great privilege of having children is to raise them up as godly offspring. I mean, Jesus said himself that the kingdom of God belongs to them. And so I would just challenged and reminded myself, and I just think it's good for all of us to just examine our ways before the Lord. Proverbs says that a wise man and a wise woman gives thought to their ways, that we should...
What a concept. Don't you think it's really good then to spend first, before you start your day, before we make any mistakes or good things or bad things, is to abide with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And seek his counsel for our day.
Yeah.
And then he begins to you know, he makes our day right. He makes our day right. And if you haven't, you can't do this alone. We'll mess up every day outside of God. Listen, if you don't have a simple plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org. We have a simple plan for you. Just request it for free. And as soon as you fill out that little form and request, it'll come immediately to you. Click on that link and we'll have videos and everything. A simple way you can begin to spend time with God, because God wants to spend time with you.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.